From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Imagine losing the job you always wanted. Well, that happened to Ben Berman. He was among the thousands of pilots laid off by the airlines after September 11, 2001. The Airline Pilots Association estimates that 11,000 of its members lost their jobs, and of that number, only 3,000 have since returned to work. Until he was laid off, Ben Berman was a first officer. He flew a Boeing 737 out of Newark for Continental Airlines. Then came 3.5 years of waiting and watching the mail for a letter calling him back to work. He spent a lot of that time thinking about flying.
My last flight ended here at Newark's Terminal C. It was September 27th, 2001. We shut down the engines at the gate. I called out the items on the parking checklist, turning off the air conditioning packs and fuel pumps. I filed my company navigation charts in their thick binders and trudged up the jetway. I was grounded indefinitely. I found a good job at NASA researching how airline pilots work in the cockpit. Compared with so many others, I was lucky to find work so quickly. In my new job, I flew a lot for business as a passenger. At first, I had this strange feeling at the end of every flight. I was so used to putting on an airline pilot's hat after reaching the gate that now my head felt oddly naked and breezy as I walked off the plane. That feeling faded over time as I sort of adjusted to life as an out-of-work airline pilot. I kept my piloting skills fresh by giving flight instruction to beginners in small airplanes.
Tarmac approach, Skyhawk 52126 is leveling 3000.
It's a freezing cold winter day with a howling wind, gusts shaking the airplane. Today my students learning how to fly in the clouds. We're heading from our small airport to Baltimore, flying fast, staying out of the way of the big airline traffic.
All right, let me speed it up. Yeah, get your speed back up there. Those jets are climbing up our tail.
It's kind of strange mixing it up with the big jets. Were it not for the reality of airline layoffs, I'd be flying one of those airliners.
Southwest 102, field in sight.
Flight instructing is familiar ground for me. That's where I came from in aviation. About half of all major airline pilots today receive their original flight training in the military. The other half, like me, follow a purely civilian route of humble beginnings that will hopefully pay off in the end with a job at one of the major air carriers.
I have a hard time on altitude here. Just for practice, let's try and do 110, because you normally fly your approaches at 90 to 100, so this will be a little faster than usual.
One of my first jobs was working for a commuter carrier in the Midwest. My run was from Chicago Midway to Rockford, Illinois. The trip took only 21 minutes, but it regularly set records for turbulence. One of my jobs after the flight was picking up the used six-axe. Three or four was pretty average on the Rockford run.
179, looking for the traffic, just 498.
You've got to love this job to do it, especially to keep doing it. Ever since the airlines were deregulated in 1978, pilots' incomes have plummeted when adjusted for inflation. And a couple of hundred nights a year away from home is hard on families, so much so that my family dreaded the idea that I could be recalled. But I still wanted to go back to flying, more than anything. Then, finally, I got the letter I was waiting for.
December 16th, 2004, from Continental Airlines. Dear Benjamin, we're pleased to advise you that staffing requirements will result in your recall to a pilot position at Continental Airlines.
After I shook hands with the postman, who seemed very pleased for me, I went around telling everyone my good news. I dropped by a group of retired pilots who have lunch together every day at our neighborhood airport. Even if they don't fly, they like to talk about airplanes and offer advice to young pilots, like me. Don Manwaring retired 18 years ago as a captain for United Airlines. He reminded me that the airline business isn't everything it was a generation ago.
It's changed, there's no doubt about that. Whole lifestyle, airline pilots changed. It's glamour, now it's a job. I never went to work for a living when I did it.
Don asked me to think of him when I was at 35,000 feet as I fly across the country. I went back to work on schedule in the middle of February at Continental's Flight Training Center in Houston.
You guys haven't been in this simulator yet, right?
Nope.
This multi-million dollar beast is a cab riding on huge hydraulic legs. Once inside, you feel for all the world as if you're flying a real airplane. Instructors give you the worst kinds of scenarios to practice, ones that aren't very likely to happen, but that all airline pilots should be able to do just right, all the same.
Approaching minimums, I'm going heads up.
100.
Like this approach, down to 50 feet above the ground, with only 600 feet visibility.
50.
Going around. Flaps 50.
30.
G
Check power.
20.
Positive brake. Gear up.
After 5 weeks of simulator training, I'm ready for the real thing.
For children seated in a row, seats identified by the word no children in this row.
My first flight back on the job is from Newark to Atlanta on Continental 1167. I haven't sat at the controls of a 737 in 3.5 years. It's exciting being back in the electronic nest of the cockpit. I'm anxious to do everything right, knowing there are plenty of small ways to mess up. The captain for my initial trip is Mel Bolig. He's specially qualified to supervise new and returning pilots.
I'll pick up some of the workload, and I'll more than likely fly the first leg. But that's the only thing. I'll settle him down, just let him sit in his seat and, you know, get reacclimated with the airplane. Just the hat. That was the only thing, right?
Yeah.
Amazingly enough, I forgot to bring my pilot's hat to my first day back on the job. At some airlines, not wearing your hat can be a mild form of civil disobedience. Hats aren't comfortable, but they're still the rule at most airlines. For me, I wasn't protesting on my first day back at work. I was just a bit hyped up, I guess, when I was packing for the trip.
Let's get some power on this bird.
I prepare the cockpit for flight, methodically checking all the switches, levers, knobs, lights, and gauges.
Now we're going to do a fire test.
We run a few more checklists, push back from the gate, and then it's time to go. We taxi to runway 4 left and take off into a gray day in northern New Jersey. It's a fabulous feeling to be back in the air again. About 30 minutes after takeoff, we fly directly over my house in Maryland at 34,000 feet. For the last 3.5 years, I've watched jets painting white contrails southward on this same route. Those trails across the sky always felt like a good omen that I'd be back in the air someday.
Good morning once again from the flight deck. As you can tell, we're just beginning our descent on into Atlanta. We hope that you've enjoyed the flight, and if I could just add a personal note. This is my chance to be back here flying at Continental after a 3.5 year furlough. And I just want to tell all of you that I'm back here flying for Continental because you're choosing Continental. I truly appreciate your choice of Continental for today's flight, and I hope to see you soon on another one of our flights. Good day.
I just hope that I can stay in the air. Already, since being recalled from furlough, we face the threat of being furloughed again, averted, at least for now, by our pilots taking about a 25% cut in wages and benefits. After so many furloughs and ups and downs, I've lost all of my innocence about job security in this or any other profession. But I knew from the moment I sat down again in my cockpit seat that I was in exactly the right place. Like I said, you've really got to love this job to do it, and I do.
You can see pictures of Ben Berman's first day back on the job at npr.org. Our story was produced by Charlie Mayer.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.